Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's game day, Brew Crew fans, and we'll get you ready before first pitch. Coming up, today's starting lineups. We'll debate the hot topics in Milwaukee. Plus, you'll hear from the skipper, now live from the Fan On Deck Studios. This is the Pella Windows and Doors Baseball On Deck Show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief, on Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Brewers in the desert try to do a deed against the Arizona Diamondbacks and hold them off in the NL wild card race. How's everybody doing? I'm Bill Baby Tao Schmidt. Pella Windows and Doors Wisconsin On Deck Show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief, getting you set for the road trip, getting you set for the start of the four-game set in Arizona. Chase Field, the site tonight for an 8:40 Central Standard Time first pitch between Zach Davies and Merrill Kelly, the right-hander for the Diamondbacks, 7-9 mark with a 3.93 earned run average. Zach Davies goes to the mound for the Crew. Davies still in the top five in the NL in starting pitching ERA. The Milwaukee Brewers starting pitchers have, as a whole, have been keeping the Brewers afloat. Have some numbers for you in the Who's Hot, Who's Not segment. Right around 8 o'clock, we'll talk to Bart Winkler, host of Chuck and Winkler, 6 to 10 here on The Fan, as well as a franchise, Tim Allen. Talk to him on the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show as well. Meet you right here after the last pitch when you make the switch. After Brewers and Diamondbacks, before we do any of that, let's get to what happened yesterday when Dallas Keuchel and Chase Anderson got together for a matinee at Miller Park. Chase Anderson gets the W in a 5-4 Brewers win, his fifth win of the year, and he got some run support right away from his catcher, Manny Pena, starting it off in the second inning.
Day game after a night game on a hot afternoon. Good day to give Grandal a day off. As Pena sends one deep to left, this is going to fly, and it's gone! Manny Pena, two-run home run!
Brewers doing it off Dallas Keuchel early with Manny Pena. It would stay 2-0 for the Brewers through the fifth inning. Chase Anderson goes 5 2/3 of one hit, no run baseball, a couple of three walks, three strikeouts, is pulled after a walk, his third of the day, to Freddie Freeman in the top half of that sixth inning. Freddie Peralta would come in, get Josh Donaldson to strike out. Freddie Peralta, one of his four outs that he would have scattered around three walks and a strikeout. But the Brewers in the sixth would get the bats going again with the 2018 MVP.
Yelich in the air, left center field. That ball's way back, and this one's going to fly out of here. Christian Yelich, number 34.
A league-tying 34th home run for the lead with Cody Bellinger. That one from Christian Yelich with one out in the sixth after a Ryan Braun triple. This dude just continues to make stories.
I figure that would be for Aguilar. That ball's ripped left center field. Going to get down, a base hit. And it's going to go to the wall. In the score is Braun. Hira in the second. It's an RBI double. And the kid keeps on hitting. Phenomenal story developing in Milwaukee. 23-year-old Keston Hira. Now a seven-game hit streak.
Keston Hira has been on absolute fire. He's on a seven-game hit streak, as you heard. All our highlights courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin, Brian Anderson. In those last seven games, six starts, 27 plate appearances, 23 at-bats, 14 hits. That's good for a .609 batting average, a .667 on base percentage. And for you math nerds, that's two-thirds, right in half, and a slugging percentage of .1174. That's pretty damn good. It had Brian Snitker, Braves manager, saying this after the game.
I said, geez, he's one of those young kids that I've seen in the league that they're making busts of for the Hall of Fame. I mean, my God, that kid can really hit. You know, and I know our people liked him, you know, when he came out. And, you know, his timing and how he's gets ready and all. He's a good-looking little player, man. And you can tell he's a hitter. He's a hitter, good-looking player.
Brewers weren't done in that sixth inning. Manny Pena for his third RBI of the day.
How about that wide turnaround third that Aguilar took? There's a base hit in the center. Manny Pena delivers again. RBI single. 5-0 Brewers as Manny Pena with his second, making his third RBI of the game.
It would get a little dicey after Junior Guerra would give up a two-run shot after a walk to Josh Donaldson in the eighth inning, and then in the ninth inning, two unearned runs cross after a strikeout allowed two to cross on an error. Two unearned runs coming against Josh Hader's ledger yesterday. One inning, three hits. Two unearned runs against Tater, a 235 earned run average still for Josh. His 21st save of the year, and the Brewers get out of Milwaukee, beating the Braves 2 out of 3 in the series, and now 50-47, still 2.5 games back of first place in the NL Central, but have the lead and are alone in the second wild card spot. If the season ended today, the Brewers would be heading to Philadelphia to take on the Philadelphia Phillies in a one-game playoff. Starting lineups for today's game as we move on. Brought to you by Waukesha Sports Cards. Waukesha Sports Cards is your sports shopping headquarters for collectibles and authentic hand-signed sports memorabilia. Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com for a list of their upcoming autograph signings. Start with the visiting Milwaukee Brewers. Once again, 50-47 managed by Craig Counsell for the 841st pitch. Excuse me, Zach Davies on the mound, 7-2 with a 2.89 ERA. Davies on a good roll, allowing just one earned run in 16 1/3 innings his last three starts. His six innings against the Giants in his last appearance, Davies' longest outing since he pitched 8 on June 2nd. Leading off for the crew today out in center field, it's Lorenzo Cain. Christian Yelich, the right fielder, hitting second. In front of the catcher, Yasmani Grandal. Mike Moustakas, an all-star this year. He cleans up and plays third. Ryan Braun out in left, hitting fifth. Eric Thames, the first baseman, in the sixth hole. It's Keston Hira, the rookie with a 3.23 average and 9 home runs with 19 driven in, playing second and hitting seventh. Orlando Arcia will play short, hit eighth. And Zach Davies rounds out the 9 for Craig Counsell's crew. For the Arizona Diamondbacks, they come into today's game at 49-47. Merrill Kelly will do the pitching. He's 7-9 with a 3.93 ERA this year. Has made 5 winless starts with an 0-3 record since winning his first 3 in the month of June. In his last outing on Saturday, the 30-year-old right-hander allowed 4 runs, 1 earned, over 5 innings against the St. Louis Cardinals. In left field, it's Tom LoCastro leading off for the Diamondbacks. Ketel Marte. Marte plays center and hits second. Eduardo Escobar, the second baseman, hitting third. Christian Walker, the first baseman, cleaning up. Adam Jones out in right field hitting fifth. Jake Lamb, the third baseman, plays hot corner and hits sixth. He had 2 home runs in a game last year at Miller Park. Nick Ahmed, the shortstop, hitting seventh. Carson Kelly, the backstop for Merrill Kelly, the battery mate, rounding out the 9. For the crew, one more time, it's Cain, Yelich, Grandal, Moustakas, Braun, Thames, Hira, Arcia, Davies. And for the D-backs, it's LoCastro, Marte, Escobar, Walker, Jones, Lamb, Ahmed, Kelly, and Kelly. Before we take a quick timeout, let's hear from manager Craig Counsell. Yesterday, spoke after the game, and then a couple of comments that he had earlier today. First, start with yesterday as he addresses what exactly Freddy Peralta has been able to do in the bullpen and how big getting out of a bases loaded jam in that seventh inning was.
I was really proud of Freddy, man. It was a jam, you know, in a big spot, and I thought he raised his game. I thought he kept making pitches. Swanson had kept following him off, had a great at bat, but you want to be a reliever, you want to be in big moments, you know, that's a big moment.
The Brewers are going to need young Freddy Peralta to be able to do his thing in those roles. And if Freddy Peralta wants to stay with the big league club, he's going to be able to have to adapt to those roles. Manny Pena had a little bit of a mishap in the ninth inning to allow those two to cross against Hader.
He's running to chase the ball. You don't know where the runner's necessarily at. So his first thought was to get rid of it, and it ended up being a little high. He probably could have set his foot and just tried to maybe a good throw like inside. But you know, when you're running away from the play and you lose your sense of timing, I think, as much as anything.
Keston Hira was the talk of the series and really has been the talk of Milwaukee Sports Talk Radio over the last couple of days. What did the skipper have to think of the rookie?
I mean, wow. He just driving the ball, hard contact, you know, just the ability to hit the ball past the outfielders consistently. He had a special three games, man. It was fun to watch.
Chase Anderson was big for the crew yesterday, and he's been big for the last couple of starts.
Yeah, he pitched really well. He's on the attack, and his pace was really good. I thought he set a really good pace, and I think when he sets that good pace, it kind of just gets him going in his delivery as well. So lots of good stuff there, you know, lots of kind of lazy fly balls, pop-ups, good stuff.
Manager Craig Counsell earlier today before the game in Arizona at Chase Field talked to reporters about the starting pitching as a whole, as a group. It's kind of been keeping the team around.
I think our starters have probably at times been, I mean, I think we had a stretch in, I believe, May it was, that we had a good stretch. So they're pitching well. They're definitely doing their jobs. I feel like the last couple of days we're beating the other starter. Like, one thing, we just haven't been able to really hand the bullpen the ball with, you know, a good lead. Really yesterday, you know, after Freddie got that out, we got a couple runs and gave him a little bit of a lead. So that's, you know, so we're not having to, and that's on the offense as well, right? You know, not making the bullpen pitch in a one-run game every time they take the ball, or a tie game. We're not going to have success as much when those guys are always pitching in that game. So our starters are contributing to that, and our offense is contributing to that.
Craig Counsell decided to send Adrian Hauser back to the bullpen. Gio Gonzalez coming off the IL allows the roster spot, or the spot in the starting rotation, to be up for grabs. And Craig Counsell's excited about getting Gio back. But how big is Adrian Hauser to the bullpen as well?
I think that's a good result. I mean, it's about those guys pitching well. Gio's pitched well for us as a starter. Adrian's had some success in the bullpen. It's going to come down to them, you know, when they get their outings, doing their job, doing a good job. So, it certainly could. It's just more depth is how I see it. We're getting a good pitcher back in Gio to cover, you know, in some innings every 5 days. And that's why it makes us better, really, is that we're getting Gio back. He's pitched really well for us, and getting a left-hander back, which I think can complement our bullpen pretty well too.
That's manager Craig Counsell earlier today for the Brewers take on Arizona Diamondbacks, start up a road trip. Brewers struggled on the road this year, about five games under 500 away from Miller Park. Next time the crew will be back at Miller Park, they'll be taking on, yeah, those guys, Cincinnati Reds, then the Chicago Cubs. Just a quick four-game set on the road. You can get your tickets out of Miller Park. A student night coming out on July 26th. That's the Friday against the Cubs. It's going to always be fun when those Chicago Cubs come to town. Yeah, and their fans. Could be deciding first place in the NL Central. Brewers got to keep pace so far. Go inside the clubhouse coming up next. Conversation with Bart Winkler and Tim Allen after the top of the hour. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show here on The Fan.
Now, here's the behind-the-scenes info as we take you inside the clubhouse. Brought to you by Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street. Stop in today for lunch and dinner and try their fabulous Friday fish fry. Now open, Coaches on Lake Dunoon. This is the Pella Windows and Doors On Deck show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chase Anderson, Christian Yelich, and Keston Hira, who you're going to hear from when we go inside the clubhouse tonight on the Pella Windows and Doors Wisconsin On Deck show. I'm Bill Baby Tao Schmidt. Appreciate you listening before the Brewers and Diamondbacks get going. Inside the clubhouse brought to you by Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street. Stop in today for lunch or dinner and try the fabulous Friday fish fry. Now open, Coaches on Lake Dunoon. Christian Yelich on some kind of tear. Listen to these numbers. In the last 365 days, that's 153 games, a batting average of .347, an on-base percentage of .1177, 59 homers and 140 runs driven in. It's going to be a topic of conversation on the Wendy's Big Show tomorrow. Just what do these numbers mean in the grand scheme of the history books? That's only two away from Roger Maris, who a lot will believe is the all-time home run king. Some don't believe Barry Bonds is, but live ball era or the juice ball era. Which one do you want to talk about? We'll talk about that a little bit later on tomorrow at 2, but Christian Yelich right now, all he's worried about is his team getting in position to make a run towards the playoffs.
Like the start of something, maybe it'd be a pretty good team, 2 out of 3.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely a really good team. One of the better teams in the National League, and it's a good series for us. We finally started playing the way that we're capable of, offensively, defensively, pitching. And, we're going to need to continue to do that.
Snow, you hit 36 homers last season. You're at 34 now. Is it kind of still incredible? And are you enjoying this competition with Orange?
It's been really cool. We'll see how it plays out. He's a great player, and he's having an incredible year. We got a long ways to go before it's all said and done. So we'll see how it plays out.
Is there a little competition in it?
I don't think we're looking exactly at what each other are doing. Like I said, it's still too early for that, but we've become kind of semi-friends over the last year or so, and it's always fun competing with your buddies, and like I said, he's a great player. The things he's doing are unbelievable, and I'll just have to wait and see how it plays out.
After those first two at-bats today against Keuchel, obviously the third one turned out differently. What was, what changed, I guess, or what did you do to...
I finally didn't swing over the sinker. He's got a good one, and, it's a tough lefty-lefty at-bat just because of that. And, you're just trying to find a way to get that ball in the air, get it off you a little bit, and kind of just finally got one and was able to not miss it.
What are you seeing in Kessman's swing right now that's made him so successful, especially during this homestand?
He's got a really short swing, but I think it's more of just him being a really good hitter. And when really good hitters get locked in, they can rattle off a bunch in a row. And that was big for us. He had a huge series, and we need to continue to do that. He's really talented. I think he's starting to get acclimated to the big leagues and how they're going to attack them, and he's done a great job so far.
That's game recognizing game. He's right. Good hitters just get locked in, and they can be really, really dangerous for long periods of time. Keston Hira, after the game yesterday, 357 in this guy's last 15 games.
Seems like that you just kind of model it up and find a way to keep it going.
It's always good to be able to feel the ball, go off the barrel and, find those holes and whatnot. Especially with the start of the second half after the All-Star break, I kind of want to really make a statement for myself, just to prove to myself that, you know what you're doing and, kind of not press too much or anything like that, kind of do what you do.
Did you find you were pressing at all? It wasn't going as well at the start of the second time up as it did the first time.
No, not necessarily pressing. I just knew what I was capable of being able to do, and it was kind of more just I was going out of my game plan and trying to do a little too much. So I think just be able to realize that and kind of clicked in my head.
What has been the biggest adjustment that you've learned from the first trip up here to the consistency that you found over this homestand?
Yeah, I think – at first, when you go, you're playing at the highest level, facing, aces every single day, guys that, have been around in the big leagues forever, where they know how to pitch to, everyone, know how to execute and whatnot. So I think just being able to understand that and not kind of conform to their plan, that's kind of the biggest adjustment, I'd say.
What do you like watching Yelich? There's a lot to like in the results, but what have you taken from watching him play?
Yeah, it's been 2 years since I've been able to play on the same field with him, going back to spring training, and it's just fun to watch him. Every time he's on the field after that bat or whatnot, something might happen. So you definitely want to watch and tune into that. And as you can see today, I remember he was telling me earlier in the game, he's like, I don't think I've hit a ball in the air off Keuchel in my career, and I said, oh, it's going to be coming soon. And sure enough, that bomb hit to the center field. So, he's an amazing player, and it's fun to to watch him, and not only that, and have him on our team as well.
Did you sense kind of a different energy inside the clubhouse just getting 2-3 from the Braves after the slide that you guys have been in recently?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, going into a road series in Arizona, it's definitely good to have that momentum, and we were able to get production both offensively and pitching wise, which was really good, and just looking to carry that momentum to the next series and the series after that, and continue to do that.
It's going to be cool to see how Keston Hira first starts being adjusted to, and starting pitchers and pitchers around the league start trying to poke holes in his swing, because it is such a pure swing, and his ability to barrel up baseballs is pretty uncompromised. But when the league starts adjusting to him, going to be awesome to see him adjust back. Just how good can this guy be is the real question for Brewers fans, and the one on pretty much everybody's mind. Chase Anderson has been pretty dang good for the crew as of late.
The number one sign was going back up the next inning and being efficient that inning. So it just tells me that my stuff, I'm in the zone and aggressive with it. It plays well. So, to get in the sixth inning and come out with a lead, that's the goal every time.
Council said that he was just so impressed with your pace today. Did you feel that way, and how difficult is it to kind of set that tone?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think for me, my tempo and pace and rhythm, all those things come into play when I have those things. I'm efficient with pitch count. I'm in the strike zone with all my pitches. Usually pitch deep in the game and give our team a chance to win. And that's the goal. I've changed a few things in my routine between my starts to kind of mimic that, so I can take that in the game more consistently. So I think it's helped out for sure.
What's it been like to watch Keston
kind of
in this series?
I don't know why we sit him down, honestly. That guy has been unbelievable. Just to see his swing and how short it is to the ball, and how he gets the ball so hard to right center field is super impressive for such a young guy. I mean, I remember when he got drafted and he came over here and hit BP with our team and was crushing balls in the opponent's bullpen. I was like, wow, this guy's going to be up here pretty quick. And shoot, 9 or 2 years later, he's in the big league. So tip your cap to him, and just hopefully that continues because he's going to be a really good player for us for a long time.
Looks like Yelich is pretty good too.
I don't know about that. He's a decent player. I mean, after the first two at bats, he comes in, talks to Hainsey, and gets a plan to go up for a third bat. Third at bat, hits a homer. I mean, we get spoiled by it daily, like I said in the past. I mean, shoot, he's win the MVP again if he continues this. And just his approach when he goes through slumps, his slumps are hitting singles instead of homers or triples or doubles. So, to have a guy like that on your team to impact a game on a daily basis the way he does is huge.
Chase, for a season this long, it's hard to kind of carry momentum, win or lose. But did this one feel bigger just to get a series like this with where you guys were at?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Braves, they're such a good team. And then to beat a team like that and to come out on top and win the series after losing the first game of the series, winning yesterday and today, I think it's huge. And hopefully that's the momentum and the tone setter for us to get that, vibe we had last year and continue that streak to win series from here on out and just to play the ball we know how to play.
That's cool to hear a Brewer talk about trying to get the vibe back to last year. It was such a special feeling, and we talked about the specialness of last year. I tried to convince everybody on the big show a couple of weeks ago that, hey, this season is still special. We just maybe have forgotten about some of those moments. We don't remember Eric Thames tying it up with a reach out the bat opposite field solo shot off Justin Verlander in the seventh, and Mike Moustakas coming around with a big homer in the 14th inning against the Houston Astros. You want another one? All right, I got you. Ryan Braun, 6 hits in a game. Wins it with an 18th inning walk-off. Now try me again. Luis Castillo, Freddy Peralta, first road trip of the year. 8 innings, shutout ball from Freddy Peralta. That was probably the highlight of Freddy Peralta's year, but yesterday you heard Counts talk about him getting out of that jam, bases loaded. Freddy Peralta could be a high-leverage reliever here later on in the season. You never know. He's going to be put into that role. Feels like a desert out in Milwaukee. It's hot, 85 degrees. But talk about going into the desert. 106 at first pitch at Chase Field. Field and game conditions brought to you by Stein's Garden and Home. Stein's Premium Weed Control plus Lawn Care Food. Comparable to national brands for less. Formulated exclusively for Wisconsin lawn. Stein's, planted in Wisconsin. Growing with you since 1946. I'm Bill Baby Tao Schmidt. Joining me next, Tim Allen, the franchise from the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Bart Winkler, Chuck and Winkler from 105.7 FM, The Fan. Come on back. Keep it locked. You got The Fan.
It's time to debate the big issues surrounding the crew. Get ready for the roundtable. Brought to you by McCormick Law Office, the back injury attorneys. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
40 minutes away from first pitch, Brewers and Diamondbacks. I'm Bill Baby Sal Schmidt, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, this guy first, you've talked to him for the last 14 years after the game, after the last pitch, make the switch, the franchise, Tim Allen. Timmy, you're also in for Bill Michaels tomorrow. Ready to rock and roll in the midday?
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully a winning streak has started and they started to turn the corner here.
Well, you know what they say. All you need is two. You get three. Then maybe you're just a little bit lucky, and the luck hasn't been on the Brewers' side at all this year. Joining us now on the other side, this guy has been a little lucky. You look at him, you might think he's full of luck. He's Bart Winkler, 6 to 10 weekday mornings here on The Fan. Bart, can't wait to be in talking Brewers with you tomorrow, 9:30. But right now, for what you've seen from Keston Hira in the two trips up to the big leagues, about 35 days up here of service time for Keston on the second trip, what have you seen, and what is your expectation of just how good he can be?
I was able to be in the locker room yesterday, guys, and we were standing around Christian Yelich. And so when you stand around someone like Yelich, you think, I mean, okay, we're acquiring the information, and we're acquiring the sound bites that we can pass along to the post-game show and that we use throughout the day. But there's a moment, I think, when you're standing there doing your job for where I'm at, and I'm thinking, man, this is Christian Yelich. This is the guy in the MLB right now. And, you know, here he is, and here I am. And then right after that, we stand in front of Keston Hira. And I'm thinking, Keston Hira could very well be in that spot in a year's time. You think of where Yelich was a year ago. And, yeah, we were starting to take note of how good he was. And I think throughout baseball, people were looking at the Marlins deal with the Brewers and thought, okay, yeah, the Brewers, they might have made out on that one. And I think that as people are starting to look at Keston Hira, the same sort of thing is happening. So just like Yelich sort of shot out of a cannon and became this MVP candidate, I don't think there's any reason why the same thing can't happen with Keston Hira. The guy's tremendous. Chase Anderson yesterday, when we stood around him, I wasn't as starstruck, unfortunately, for Chase, but when we stood around him, he said, I don't even know why we sent this guy down. I mean, that he said those words, and it rings true because Keston's been terrific. He was terrific his first time up. He's terrific his second time up, and this is going to be his final time up, because if they ever would send him back down again for any reason other than procedural or injury, I mean, there would be riots outside of Miller Park. I've got nothing but high hopes and high expectations, really, for what Keston Hira can do.
Tim, we asked earlier today on the Big Show if Keston Hira going down or sending Keston Hira down, was that the biggest mistake David Stearns has made this year as the general manager? I don't know if that would be one for you, but it's got to be pretty high up on that list. How good do you believe he can be?
And that's funny. We're going to talk about that tomorrow during the Michaels Network show. But it's not a. First of all, I wasn't surprised, and I don't know if I wouldn't have done the same thing in sending him down. You owed that to Shaw. People forget that about Shaw. He needed that. We got clarity from sending Keston Hira back down. Yeah, a little cup of coffee. It looked like he was going to grab the baton and never look back. But I fully think that was I would have done the same thing. Guys, I would have. Shaw would have been back in there.
Do you think some of it was calculated, Tim?
Yeah, I think it was a plan. I think that was their game plan. I think it was to get him the taste in the big leagues. We talk about that oftentimes over the years, and people forget. These guys need to know what's what in the big leagues. I mean, to pick up Bart, pick him up, and plop him into Scottsdale, Arizona, and say, dude, tomorrow morning you're on the air. Go do your thing. You're going to be out of sorts a little bit. You ain't going to be you. So you knew he'd come back, and that's the thing. It was a little planned out, it was. And you know, additionally, the organization – And I think to win at the higher ceiling, you had to make sure you had clarity with Travis Shaw. Was he going to come out of that thing? And he didn't. So you bring him back, you make good, and now it's a little different. Now the landscape is different. Now he does feel comfortable, and you can tell that. Is Keston Hiura the next Brewer superstar? It sure looks like it. It does. And in terms of mistakes, obviously I don't agree that is one of the bigger mistakes that Stearns has made.
Which one would you say is David Stearns' biggest mistake here in 2019? A couple that you could point, obviously the ones you point to would be some of the pitching staff. Mine was the Corey Knebel lack of an additional arm there in the bullpen to start out the year.
Right on, and that ranks two in my biggest mistakes. There's two major ones, and the first one was really believing that you were going to go 3-for-3 with young starters at 3/5 of your rotation. I mean, you came out of this 1-for-3, and if you thought you were going to go 3-for-3, you never got a backup plan. You never had that Gio Gonzalez as the backup plan until later. You made that, and he stepped up and made that good. You never had the Wade Miley backup plan in that rotation, but you're trying to step up and make these things good with the Gio signing and with possibly Smiley or Miller or one of these other guys. But that to me was the biggest mistake, and I'm right there with you on number two, is not replacing Corey Knebel, which would allow Jefferson Hader to be back in their comfort zone. And still, to this minute, I don't believe either one is as comfortable as last year.
Bart, you look at them right now, 50-47, and if the season ended today, I said it earlier, they would be heading to Washington to take on the Nationals for a one-game playoff. And that's great, being able to go back to the playoffs for back-to-back years. It would be the first time since 81-82 that the organization did that, and just the second time in franchise history. But to this point right now, obviously the results are disappointing in the wins and loss column. But what is the number one thing, or number one and two things for you that have been mistakes by the hierarchy of the Milwaukee Brewers this year?
I think it's been that David Stearns seems to address the offense differently than he addresses the pitching staff. So when he looks at the offense and the lineup, they made moves to make the team better, and they were willing to throw out some money to do that. They were willing to pay Mike Moustakas and bring in Yasmani Grandal. I mean, that was a shock to all of us that he was available and that he would sign a one-year deal, and he got paid pretty healthily to do that. But then on the pitching side of things, you know, you got a guy like Wade Miley, if that's who you want to bring up. He only signed for about $5 million, and the Brewers let their, you know, number crunching kind of get in the way with that. But you won't sign a guy for $5 million. Yet you'll throw out $18 million for another guy. Okay, so there's some imbalance there. Then to go with what Tim brought up, you have three young guys, and you're expecting them all to hit. Now, if they all would have hit, sure, he's a genius. But to expect all three to hit is wishful thinking. But he's going with three young guys in the rotation. Yet, again, with the lineup, your young guy, who is probably ready from opening day, Keston Hiura, you bring him up, and then you send him back down, and then you bring him back up again. So it's like, youth is bad unless it's in the pitching staff, and signing guys is bad unless it's on the offense. It seems like he's managing two different philosophies, or somebody's running the pitching and someone's running the offense. So I think if they can at least use the same sort of philosophy on both sides, I think the team would be better for it.
It's the McCormick Law Office Roundtable here on the Pella Windows and Doors Wisconsin On Deck Show. I'm Bill Baby Tower Schmidt. Joining me right now, Tim Allen and Bart Winkler here on The Fan. Bart, to that point, what are you more comfortable in doing then? If you're going to fix one of these three holes, the starting pitching, offense, if you believe that's a hole or just a lack of production, and relief pitching, which one of those are you willing to try to stop gap with young players in your farm system, try to improve from within, and which ones are you more inclined to go out and try to get on the trade market?
Well, they're going to need relievers if they're going to contend, because it doesn't seem like they're going to change their strategy of not letting guys pitch the third time through. I don't think Chase Anderson's anywhere near where he was 2 years ago, but he's also not being given that opportunity. And if you look at him come off the mound when Craig pulls him, he would still like to be out there. 92 pitches, I think, yesterday, but since 78 the day before. There's still gas left in his arm when a guy like Chase Anderson gets pulled, but they don't want to have that guy go the third time through the order. Okay, fine. Well, then what do? Well, you hope to get the Hader, but then what do you do in between there? You hope that Freddy Peralta can work out of a bases-loaded jam that he set up, and then you need another outing from either a Guerra or an Albers or a Claudio, and your bullpen is just not solid enough. Your 2019 bullpen's not good enough to use the 2018 strategy, but the Brewers can't seem to get away from that. So if they're not going to go get an arm, which is ultimately what I would like, a starting arm that can get you 6 or 7 innings. I mean, even when Keuchel was giving up runs yesterday, he's able to work through the batting order and give him a good chunk of innings, and you know, that also keeps the bullpen fresh. But the Brewers never seem to have that. It never seems like Craig has all of his options available because he burns through these guys so much. So I think any concentration needs to be on the pitching staff here if they are going to add at the deadline.
No, he's Bart, you're right on the money. And I think at times, I said it last week, you have to watch a baseball game, Craig. It's you can't cookie cut like you did last year. You can't just say, this is the way it went last year. We had tremendous success. There's some of that. Of course there is. And we all know that. But sometimes just sit back and watch a ball game. Watch a baseball game. There's physical dudes down there playing a baseball game. They want to perform. These guys, it's almost... You have to think that internally some of these starters do question it. They do, and they say, "Well, wow, man, I'm looking forward to this challenge. I got a 2-run lead here. I need 2 more outs to button up a 6th inning, or 1 more out to button up a 7th inning. Let me go at these guys. I'm dealing today. I've given up a couple of hits. In Chase's case, he gave up 1 hit, 1 stinking hit yesterday. That was it. 3 walks, just the 4 base runners were allowed." You do. I'm hoping that Craig Counsell adjusts to that. And you talk about David Stearns making, you know, his biggest mistakes of the year. That would be Craig Counsell for me, is not watching a ball game. Dude, watch the game. Let it shake out. You've been there. You've been grinding. You've had your D in the dirt a million times. Let these guys go do their thing. Read your gut a little bit. Read the game a little bit instead of the numbers.
We talked about it last night, Tim, or it was last night or a couple of nights. It's been good getting in here and having some good baseball conversation. We start up the second half and push towards through the rest of the season. And looking for the run, waiting for the run to come, who right now do you see being the guy that could carry the Brewers for a stretch here offensively and get you into that run, or at least sustain one too if you do start getting on it, outside of Christian Yelich?
I think it's Ryan Braun and Lorenzo Cain. They get rolling here. I think everything else falls into line a little bit. You're not asking for Zeus's at bats. He almost believes that it might be his last at bat in his life. you know, he's just, it's so tight. And I think if the other guys just loosen up, it loosens up him. It is keep the line moving. Sort of philosophy. I don't know if anything major is going to change with this offense to this point. I think they can use different strategies in terms of pitching, and there will be some personnel changes in regards to pitching. The offense, the personnel is what it is. I would be shocked if they pick up an offensive player, and if they did, where the hell are you going to put him? It wouldn't surprise me if they moved an offensive player,
right?
Just to restock a little bit. That wouldn't surprise me at all. But I think we're going to be playing the dance here with the offense the rest of the year. And when they're rolling, it's going to be fun. And when they're in a funk and 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position, we're going to be asking for bunts, hitting runs, and losing our minds. So
no, only a couple of us will be asking for bunts, because only a couple of us think that stuff works. Tim, but you're right with Jesus Aguilar, and part of the reason he's pressing here, and I'll let you guys go here in a minute, but Jesus Aguilar was one more guy that I wanted to ask you about. As they two split time, him and Eric Thames here going through and pretty much what's a split platoon at this point. In the last 28 days, Zeus only started 7 games, but in those 7 starts, he's 14 for his last 41, a .341 average, and a couple of bombs. Bart, I'll start with you. Do you believe that Jesus Aguilar deserves a little bit more of a chance to try to get back to that form that he was last year? Or right now, are you just happy with what you're getting out of him in the moments that he's able to go?
I think he had his chance to be an everyday guy in the first half of the season, and I think that Eric Thames has given you some big home runs and some big moments, and I think Jesus Aguilar is starting to do that too. So unless there's a surprise move there, again, Thames is a guy they could move if they wanted at the deadline here, whether they're buying, selling, or staying put, he could be moved. I'm okay with what they're doing at first base right now, because while you don't have like a Paul Goldschmidt or one of these type of guys at first, you've got two guys that, you know, you're kind of platooning this thing, and they're both giving you production. And if one does falter, then maybe throw the other guy in there. But I think they've both settled in to the amount of playing time that they would, I would say, deserve.
Bart, appreciate the time, man. Talk to you tomorrow morning.
Are you coming in or are we calling you?
I'm going to come on in. 9:30, right?
Well, because Tim's doing Bill's show, so if you guys just want to like recreate this segment from 9:30 to 10 and then add Horvat in the mix, we'll go commercial free to wrap it up.
Cool.
Let's throw a party. I'm in.
That sounds good. You're bringing the donuts, right?
All right, fine.
Nick Bodie will bring the donuts.
Fantastic. That works out, boys. Bart, appreciate the time, man. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Timmy, I'll talk to you after the game.
You got it.
That's Tim Allen and Bart Winkler from 105.7 FM, The Fan. Tim on the Bayview Shane Blind postgame show. Bart Winkler, you know that guy. Chuck and Winkler, 6 to 10 mornings here on The Fan. They join me on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local common sense lending to your community. Since 1935, Brewers starting up a quick little four-game road trip, all four in the desert. Out against the Arizona Diamondbacks, wrap up the season series against the Diamondbacks. Craig Counsell sends this lineup to the umpires. Start it up with the lineup exchange. Wonder who it'll be. Maybe sometimes it's Brent Suter. Maybe it is Suter. He is down training in Arizona. Whoever it is, it's Kane, Yelich, Grandal, Moustakas, Braun, Thames, Hira, Arcia, Davies, and for the Arizona Diamondbacks, LeCastro, Marte, Escobar, Walker, Jones, Lamb, Ahmed, Kelly, and Kelly. Merrill Kelly opposite Zach Davies. The pitching matchup today, the 7-2 Davies with an earned run average of 2.89. Good for sixth in the National League. Tries to get back in the winning ways. They start up at 8:40 Central Time out in Arizona. Keep it locked right here. You got the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on deck show. I'm Bill Schmidt here on The Fan.
Baseball is 90% mental, and the other half is physical. So who's injured on the crew? Here's today's injury report. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Recovering Brewers down in Arizona, that would be Brent Suter getting back from his Tommy John surgery. Corey Knebel also rehabbing as well at the Brewers spring training facility, both on the 60-day DL. Suter possibly coming back here in 2019. Last we heard a couple of weeks ago, he was ready to start facing some big league hitters, at least during some live batting practice. That's the first time he's been able to throw off a mound to hitters yet. Gio Gonzalez is the closest to coming back. Due back the 20th. Saturday he will start. He will take Adrian Hauser's spot in the rotation. Hey, welcome back, Gio. You get Zach Greinke. That's a good assignment. He was on the DL with some left arm fatigue. Corbin Burns on with right shoulder irritation. He's possibly due back sometime in July. And Jimmy Nelson still wondering when he's going to be able to come back. He's scheduled to go on a rehab assignment and then report back on how he has done. 4 2/3 was the length of the rehab assignment for Gio Gonzalez. Take a look at some of the Brewers prospects that have been making noise here during the Who's Hot, Who's Not segment. Who's Hot, Who's Not is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashions since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com. Mauricio Dubon has been tearing it up. The 24-year-old all season has been at AAA San Antonio. 87 games, 361 ABs. A 305 batting average, the slash line 305, 341, and 479 with 19 doubles and 14 homers, scored 52 runs, stole 9 bases, and driven in 44. He did make his major league debut in a hit each of his first four games back with San Antonio since going up to the big leagues for just that one day, wrapping out the first half. Trent Grisham, remember him, the 2015 first-round pick for the Crew? Yeah, he changed his name, changed his batting stance. He's only 22 years old, though, and now he's up at AAA, being called up 23 games at AAA, hitting .333 with a .412 on-base percentage, slugging .678. OPS a 1090 for Trent Grisham in just 90 at-bats at AAA San Antonio, 4 doubles and 9 homers. Grisham, cool stat here, he's already hit more homers this year than he did in all of his seasons combined in the minor leagues. In 63 games at AA Biloxi this year, Grisham had a .254 average with 13 knocked out of the park. That's 22 on the year for Trent Grisham, 2015 Brewers first-round pick. Tristan Lutz, a compensatory first-round pick a couple of years ago. Lutz, his last five games, has a couple of runs driven in, a couple of doubles. And for the season, doing all right with a .251 average, but 20 doubles and 9 homers, 44 driven in for Tristan Lutz. He's still been able to drive in a lot of runs. They're at High A, Carolina. He's joined there by Bryce Terang, the first-round pick from a year ago, 19 years old. He's been up there for 82 games this year with a .287 average, a .287, .384, and a .376 slash. 4 triples, 13 doubles, 2 homers, 57 runs scored, and 21 steals for Bryce Terang, the shortstop first-round pick. A lot of people believe he is going to be a good one. This is a good sign from the AAA club. Corey Ray is back from his injury. Ray missed roughly 6 weeks with a thumb injury, then had a rehab assignment with the Arizona Brewers gold team. There, he went 8-for-15 with 3 doubles and a homer in 5 games. Instead of being assigned back to San Antonio right away, where he had started the season, Milwaukee's first-round pick from 2016, last year's Southern League MVP in AA, went to Biloxi again. He had 2 hits in each of his first 2 games, back with AA Biloxi in his last 4 games, 15 at-bats. He's got 5 hits, 2 runs scored, a stolen base, and a walk, a .333 average for Corey Ray. If the Brewers can get him going, he's really talented bat, really talented college player. The Brewers have decided to go towards the college player route in the last couple of drafts. Trace Supak as well, 23 years old, 19 starts this year with a .215 ERA at AA. Trace Supak just might be the next Brewers starting pitcher to be able to make some noise in the minor leagues. I'm Bill Baby Tao Schmidt saying thanks for joining us for the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief tonight. It's a 4-game road trip. It's all in Arizona. Starts tonight. Merrill Kelly opposite Zach Davies after the game. Come right back here. Myself and Tim Allen have the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Talk Brewers with you. Talk some Keston Hira. And just what exactly are the Brewers going to be able to do before the trade deadline? Put some pressure on David Stearns. We'll talk about that after the game. Brewers and D-backs next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.